Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart convos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am elated that you are here. So today's episode, I always have to have a vision before I hit record of what I want to talk about, but I don't like to plan it out too much because I feel like some of the best conversations happen when you least expect it and when I don't like plan too much. So today's episode, we're going to get into my relationship with movement, and I'm going to tell you like a personal story that happened yesterday that really like sparked this conversation in my head. But before we get there, I do want to start with today's Find Food Freedom win of the week. This is a screenshot from a direct message that I got from somebody in our online community. And they said this: "Can I just say that Julie is a saint?" Julie is one of our registered dietitians on the Find Food Freedom team. For context, "I had a doctor's appointment from diet culture hell yesterday, and I just know that talking to her and having someone in my corner who is safe and supportive is so helpful," with a heart emoji. Now, for more context, this person that direct messaged me, I DM with them a lot. They've been a client of Find Food Freedom. They're an amazing human, and I know a little bit more about them just through our direct message conversations and because they're a client of Julie. But she's been working with our team for a while, and she is, you know, went to the doctor's appointment and didn't give much context there. But knowing that it's a doctor appointment from diet culture hell, there was probably some weight stigma or weight bias or something in the, you know, brought up about weight or food that wasn't really in the doctor's scope. And she felt so safe and supported knowing that she can advocate for herself and she has Julie as a resource to unpack that in session. And I think that that's such a important call out, because I think when people think of the word dietitian, like, I don't even tell people I'm a dietitian. Like if I meet someone and they're like, "What do you do for a living?" I say I'm an eating disorder counselor. And the reason I choose those words, like, that's not my title at all. But the reason I choose those words is because if someone doesn't want to like talk about eating disorders or doesn't understand like this world, they'll just be like, "Oh, okay, cool." And then they don't ask me anything. Now, if someone opens up and is like, "Oh my gosh, my sister had an eating disorder," or "I had an eating disorder," or then it sparks conversation of like conversation I actually want to get into. It took me years to realize to do this, because when I would say, "Oh, I'm a registered dietitian," then people would say, "Oh, what diet should I do?" Or, "Oh, I've lost 20 pounds and let me tell you how." Or, "Oh, I don't eat sugar." Or they go on and tell me everything they ate that day. And I'm like, fuck that shit. I don't want to have these conversations. So instead of having to then backpedal and be like, "Oh, I'm not that kind of dietitian," or "I don't help people with intentional weight loss," or blah, 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 I just switched it to an eating disorder counselor. And now my life is so much more pleasant. Okay. The reason I brought this up is because the person who direct messaged us, our client, when she sent this little like win of the week, I think it shed so much light on what our team at Find Food Freedom can do with you in session. I think people's idea of what a dietitian is like the food police, right? Or someone who's going to tell you what to eat or how many calories or how many macros and all of that. And I'm here to tell you that couldn't be further from what our team does with you in session. And I should bring more clients on the podcast, because we have hundreds of clients that would love to sit down and share their personal experience. You can go to the testimonials page on our website, but to be honest, it's, you know, I think just like having candid conversations is more important. Anyways, when you meet with our team of dietitians, you can talk about anything in session related to food, relationship with food, body image, movement, medical diseases and conditions, restrictions, preferences, dieting history, you name it. But one of the things, like what that direct message, you know, alludes to is that if you have a triggering event in your life, whether it's going to the doctor's office, whether it's something a loved one says to you at a holiday event, which we know the holidays are one of the most triggering times of the year, having someone in your corner is so important. And that's where, like, a registered dietitian on our team is trained to support you, to create a safe space, to hold space for you, to be that neutral observer with you, to sit in the suck with you. So I cannot say enough good things that if you are looking for one-on-one support, especially during the holiday season, our team would be honored to support you. And you can do that by using your health insurance benefits. And I think so many people don't realize that they have these benefits. When people get their benefits checked with our team and they find out that they have 10 completely covered sessions, like completely free, $0 copay to work with our team, they're like, holy shit, I had no idea. So let our team do the work. We run the insurance benefit check for you and we tell you how many sessions you have. You can check your benefits by going to Instagram or TikTok. You'll see the link everywhere. You can also click the link in the show notes or go to bit.ly/FFF insurance and get your benefits checked. We would love to work with you. We would love to support you. We have a team of, we just hired more. So I want to say, I should know this. I think we're at like 14 dietitians now. We specialize in everything from eating disorder, disordered eating, intuitive eating, body image, PCOS, medical nutrition therapy, sports nutrition, pregnancy and postpartum, menopause, you name it. We have a provider who is specialized for you. Do not sit on this any longer and get your benefits checked. Okay. Let's pivot. Let me do a little bridge here. I love doing a bridge to the next topic. I said, let's get your benefits checked. You know what also we need to get checked? Your skin. And mama's gonna remind you. If you are an OG listener, I've done an episode on going to the dermatologist and getting your skin checked before. And I'm pretty sure when I did that, maybe I did a TikTok video on it, but I remember the reason why I did that video is because I had gotten something shaved off of my face and I had a big old patch on my face and I was like, oh, I can't make content today. And I was like, no, fuck that. This is perfect. Like, let's make content about getting your skin checked because I just got something shaved off my face and I have a huge bandage on my face. So you can't see the bandage today, but I have a big old bandage on my back and I'm still processing, but why not share it on social media? Is I got a call yesterday and I fucking knew this was going to happen. Excuse my language. I'm still processing my emotions. I'm pissed and I'm upset and I'm angry and I'm frustrated that I got a mole shaved off of my back early last week. And they say like, hey, we'll call you within 2 weeks with the results and see if we need to take more, which is called an excision if you've never gotten it done. So basically, your dermatologist will do a full body scan. I go twice a year because I've had a lot of irregular moles. I'm pretty fair skinned. I have so many freckles and moles all over me. And so it's something I'm constantly checking up on. And so I got the call back. And because this has happened before, the surgical coordinator, Brittany, know her name. So when I got a call from her and she's like, hi, it's Brittany. I'm like, fuck, because they don't have the surgical coordinator call you if your results are fine, right? They're just going to have the front desk say like, hey, we got your results. Everything was good. You're good to go. So I answer the phone. It's Brittany from my dermatologist's office. And my mole came back moderate to severely abnormal. I forget like the right term for it. So excuse my non-medical brain here. But they basically, the statistic is that when a mole comes back as moderate to severely abnormal, you have a 10% chance of that mole progressing into melanoma. And I don't know about you, but I don't like those odds. Fuck that. So what happens is when they shave the mole off and it's completely moderate to severely abnormal, they need to go back in and take an excision, go deeper and wider, take more of your skin out, and then sew it back together. Now, my back looks like a fucking war zone because I think I've already had two or three of these on my back. I know I've had one on my right breast, one between my breasts, one on my stomach. I've had so many of these. And it's, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And then lucky me, pregnancy and postpartum, shit they don't tell you, hormones go fucking insane. And I have a cyst on my back. Now, a cyst doesn't look like much. It's the color of your skin. It just looks like almost like a marble under my skin where it's just like you can like feel it and you can see it. And it's just like a perfect hard marble under my skin. And so the doctor was like, look, we should probably take that cyst off because if it ruptures and then we have to go in and take it out, if any part of that cyst is still in there, it's going to grow back. And I was like, you've got to be fucking shitting me. So the surgical coordinator calls back. She's like, you got an abnormal mole. We got to go in for an excision. And then the doctor said, well, we can't do two at once, but we'll do your excision for your mole. Then you're going to come back in a week later. We're going to chop the other side of your back open. She didn't say that. I'm just saying that word. And we're going to get your cyst out. So then, because you're like down and out when you do these. And the reason why, especially on your back, right? If it's on your arm, like if, let's say it was on right here, right? I can, for those of you who aren't listening, let's say it's on the side of my arm. If I lift my arm up and put it down, nothing's happening, right? You can move. When they're on your back, you can't do anything. And it's so frustrating because, hello, I have a 6-month-old and a toddler. And now my poor husband, this is going to be like right before Christmas because we're trying to get it in before the end of the year because we met our out-of-pocket max, want these fucking surgeries paid for. I'm not going to be able to lift my children for weeks on end. So I'm going in for the excision. Then a week later, they're going to remove my cyst. Now my back's going to be like chopped in two separate places. And I have to sit like a bump on a log. And I can't move. And I can't lift. And I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated. But hey, therapy, thank you very much. Duality of emotion. I'm also grateful that I have medical care that can find these things, that I have access to a dermatologist, that I go in and I do these skin checks because God forbid I didn't do these. And years later, this progresses to melanoma and it's a much worse situation. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And I'm fucking frustrated and pissed off and annoyed. And my back truly looks like a war zone and it's only going to get worse. So like I hate wearing backless dresses and things like that. And you know what? This is actually a really good segue to not only body image, like with scars and marks and things like that on your body, but also to movement. Because when I get my excision, when I get my cyst removed, I cannot, like I truly, I'm not allowed to sweat for the scars. Like there's two layers of stitches. There's stitches under and then on top of the skin. And you, the more you pull or move, the worse the scar is going to be and the bigger chance it has to break open. So I have to be very careful for weeks. And I actually had an excision when I was like 8 months pregnant with my second. I had this back in April. And it was horrible because when you're pregnant, you're growing. Like I was getting bigger and I was, and it was breaking open. Oh my gosh, it was terrible. So I have like PTSD of these things, but I also like, I think it's helpful to process this. One, I want to say, go get your skin checked. Go get your fucking skin checked. Please don't say like, oh, I don't go out in the sun. A mama doesn't go out in the sun either, but I'm an elder millennial and I used to go to tanning beds and I would do anything to go back in time and not have gone to tanning beds. I'm not saying that's caused all of my skin issues because I think I'm more prone to it. Some people are just prone to it and have more freckles and moles, but I have to sit and process that of like, hey, I went to the tanning beds and now I'm like, might be paying for some of that. So go get your skin checked. It is so worth it because you never know what could happen. And I've had friends and loved ones who have lost family members to melanoma. It is not something to fuck around with. And I'm like, serious. I'm getting into mama mode right now. I want you to go get your skin checked, and I want you to DM me when you schedule your skin check with your dermatologist, because it is so important to do so. And the getting your moles shaved off, like, that's easy peasy lemon squeezy. Like, that doesn't hurt. I mean, sure, they numb you, like they shave it off. So hopefully, if you don't need an excision, if they just find a mole that they're like, hey, let's take this off, not bad. Okay. Now, as we kind of, again, parlay this into the second part of the episode, all of my moles, my irregular moles and these excisions and things have really challenged me to be kind to my body. Because if we think about like what body image work is, it's not me sitting here and looking at the scars all over my back and being like, I love this. This is beautiful. And don't get me wrong, some people can do that, and like, more power to you. But for me, body image work, not only like the size of our body, right? But like, body image work is just the relationship that you hold to your body. So for me, when I'm looking at these scars, and I have scars all over my body, like I said, this will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This will probably be my 6th or 7th excision. Then if you add the cyst, it's going to look like an excision. So I'll have like 7 or 8 of these scars in my body. Plus my C-section scar is gnarly. It's having respect and compassion for your body. That's body image work, right? It's the relationship you hold to your body. So for example, if I had a loved one or a sister or anyone, a friend, whatever, in my life that they showed me their back and it was full of scars, would I look at them and say, you're so fucking gross, or like, those are disgusting, or ew, like, cover those up, those are grotesque, or like, right, like, just pick whatever you want here. No, I would give them compassion and I would support them. And I would say things of the nature of, wow, you're so brave for going to the doctor and for getting these moles checked. Wow, like, good on you for taking care of your health and going in there and doing these excisions to better your health outcomes. I would say, wow, those scars, although you may not like them, and that's okay, they can be great reminders to how strong you are and how brave you are and to how like great you're doing, something so great for your body, right? Like, those are things I would say to somebody going through what I'm sharing with you that I'm going through. Okay, we're going to take a quick break so I can tell you a brief story that brought me so much joy this week. So I was shopping on Uncommon Goods, which is one of my favorite websites to shop on, and I was looking for a new wallet because I bought this wallet back in Denver, Colorado. Technically, it was Boulder when I went with the Fine Food Freedom team last fall, and I have just used this thing to death where I'm using it all the time, and it was the cutest wallet, and I wanted to find a similar replacement, and I was shopping on Uncommon Goods, and I found the exact wallet, except now it's in this beautiful blue-gray color, which you know I'm obsessed with because those are the Fine Food Freedom colors. So I was so excited to find this unique, beautiful wallet with the 3-in-1 convertible bag on Uncommon Goods. And you too can find amazing finds, high quality, unique, handmade items on Uncommon Goods. And they're very like meaningful, out of the ordinary products. They're great for the holidays right around the corner because you can also personalize them. And with every purchase you make on Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated over $3 million to date. So I'm very happy now, selfishly, that wallet and the 3-in-1 convertible bag I found is for myself, but I can promise you that you could spark something uncommon this holiday with a gift from Uncommon Goods. Now, if you want 15% off your next gift, you can go to uncommongoods.com/freedom. Again, that's uncommongoods.com/freedom for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. it is so easy as a human being that when you're going through something, you're not giving yourself that respect. You're not giving yourself that compassion. You're like, ew, fuck this. I hate these scars. They're disgusting. I want to cover them up, blah, blah, blah. So I'm so grateful for the body image work that I've done and for the professional, you know, obviously the job that I hold, that I have this training, that I can carry it into my personal experiences, that when I'm going through something like this, I'm not saying that negative thoughts don't ever come up. And that's, I want to talk about not only, I took this a whole different way with body image today, but I want to talk about relationship with movement too today. I am a registered dietitian, a certified intuitive eating counselor, and a certified personal trainer. I want to be explicitly clear with you. That doesn't mean that I have a perfect relationship with food, body, and movement. That doesn't mean that negative thoughts and negative commentary doesn't come into my brain. Fuck no. I'm a human. Human first, all of those things second. And anyone that sits here and tells you, here's how you have the perfect relationship with food or love yourself or whatever, fuck that. I'm sorry. I can't stand the toxic positivity. I want to be real with you that like negative thoughts still come up, way less frequent. And that's why we go on these journeys, right? Is because I don't have as much negative commentary. Or when it does happen, I know that I have tools that I can utilize that are going to help me be compassionate towards myself, that are going to help me center respect for myself. So when a negative thought comes up, I can catch it. I can say, whoa, you are not fucking welcome here. And I can redirect and I can get out of that negativity quicker and faster. And again, get back to self-compassion. So that, I'm going to be honest with you, that's the goal. The goal is not sitting here being like, I fucking love everything and everything's happy and I shit rainbows and butterflies. Nope, that's just not the truth. So when it comes to our relationship with our bodies, right? Or even our relationship with movement, which we can move into, it has taken years of practice to get here. And I'm just grateful for this work. And who knew that I'd be sitting on a podcast talking about my dermatology journey and my back getting chopped up and all my scars, but how much that would relate to the work that I do personally. And that's where, when we talk about fine food freedom and when we talk about intuitive eating and your relationship with food and body and movement, like it is a journey. It's a lifelong journey. And it's so important to realize that your journey is going to ebb and flow because you're going to go through different shit your entire life. Through every season of life, things are going to come up for you and it's going to impact those relationships that you hold with food, body, and movement differently. And the goal is to just build as many tools as possible to build up as much as you can to support those relationships with whatever you're going through. So if we use, let's use, I actually want to share a story that happened and then I'm going to also relate this to having to be sedentary once I get my excisions done on my back in December. So yesterday, I can honestly say that yesterday was my first intentionally moving my body act, aka you could say exercise, I guess. I just don't like that word sometimes because I got a fucked up relationship with movement. So yesterday I was walking. Okay, let me just set the scene. I'm walking in my neighborhood. I got my Gracie Abrams album blasting in my headphones. I have a water bottle with me. I'm walking. I'm power walking. I'm feeling good. I got my 9060s on, my new Balance shoes that I'm obsessed with. They feel like I'm like bouncing on clouds. I got Gracie, I Love You, I'm Sorry playing. I'm singing. I'm loud. It's great. My neighbor drives past me and I am so blessed that I live on a cul-de-sac street with 16 other homes that I love, like so many of my neighbors. We have a nice little girls group and great humans. And so my neighbor drives past me and we like wave because I haven't seen her in a while and things have been crazy, travel, etc. And she lives on the other side of the street, like all the way down. And she drives past me and she texts me like 2 seconds later and was like, oh my gosh, you know what? Actually, I'm going to pull it up because I don't want to like misquote what we talked about. So she texted me and she goes, I need your motivation to walk with a couple exclamation points. Now, this just goes to show that nobody knows like what's going on and everyone's in their own reality, right? So, and I go, this is how I respond. I'm laughing, LOL, because this is my first time walking since April. So girl, I need the motivation too. And then she sends me back some like laughing emojis and we start to chat from there. So why I share this is because, and I obviously don't know what's going on in my neighbor's head. So now this is total speculation, but the fact that she saw me walking, right? And she's like, oh, look at Sammy walking. Like I need to walk, right? Or I wish I, you know, whatever. I don't know what her thought process was, but she texted me and said, I need the motivation to walk. Meanwhile, in my head, other than pelvic floor PT, which I started when I was 5 weeks postpartum. So I had my baby end of April, started postpartum pelvic floor PT, did that weekly for a while. I have not intentionally moved my body. Now, I have a very weird relationship with movement. Movement for me for so long was so unpleasant. Movement has always been tied to punishing my body, burning calories, like no pain, no gain. I would, you know, run on the elliptical or the treadmill to burn calories, to earn my food, like all of those things for years, all through college, even post-college a little bit, definitely in high school. So movement, I have so much resistance to it because for so long, the intention of moving my body was to shrink my body that you cannot, I want to make this so clear. You cannot just hear the message of like, move your body joyfully or like move your body for the aerobic benefits and just all of a sudden be like, okay, and uncouple all of the other intentions of why you moved your body for diet culture reasons, right? The punishment, the calorie burn, the shrinking your body. You can't go from that to just hearing joyful movement messaging and then wake up and be like, okay, I'm going to joyfully move my body now when you were never joyfully moving your body for years. And I bring this up because as a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, and certified personal trainer, I can promise you that I still go through periods of needing to practice unconditional permission to rest because for so many years of my life, I pressured myself to move because I should be moving. I should be burning. I should. I was shooting all over myself that I still have to go through periods of rest. Now, I need periods of rest for many reasons. One, we need periods of rest postpartum. That could be like a separate episode, right? Because your body needs to heal, especially I came from a C-section. It's completely different than a vaginal birth, completely different recovery. Now, moving postpartum with C-section is important, but doing it safely and doing it in the right increments and all of that. So you're not supposed to only sit down because the more you use your abdominals and your muscles, like that helps your body recover too, again, in safe amounts. But aside from being postpartum, like I go through these seasons of life where I have to like recalibrate my brain and say, Sammy, Sam, whichever one you call me, because I go by both, I can't fucking move. I can't do it. And it's almost like I have to remind myself that I have this unconditional permission to rest because no matter how much training I do, no matter how many certifications I have, that younger version of me is still inside of me saying like, you need to move, you need to burn, you need a smaller body. So I have to prove to myself that like you have unconditional permission to rest. Now, I know this from working with clients enough and from myself that it makes so much sense that if you have that thought process going and then you're proving to yourself that you have unconditional permission to rest, that normal fear to come up right away, and you might already had it in your brain since I've said that, is, oh my God, if I have unconditional permission to rest, I am never going to move my body again. I'm literally just going to sit on the couch and I'm never going to move. And I'm here to tell you that when you have unconditional permission to rest, you will get to a point where your body says, I'm craving movement. Now, let me be very clear. There is a big difference between I need to move my body and I want to move my body. And the only thing that has gotten me to the place of saying I crave movement and I want to joyfully move my body is unconditional permission to rest. Now, gentle movement, joyful movement, those are different things, but everybody's movement that they crave is going to be different. So for me, I do enjoy walking. I enjoy nature. I live in Florida where there's palm trees and it's getting to the fall where like this is our sweet spot with the weather. And I think that's a big reason I haven't moved my body is because one, I was postpartum in the heat of summer. It's fucking gross in Florida in the summer. I'm sorry. I don't enjoy it, but that's our air quotes bad weather, right? Like that's our winter. So as long as you're inside or by the beach or the pool, you're good to go. But now that the weather is breaking into the 70s, I'm like, oh my God, it feels so good outside. So like I enjoy bopping to podcasts, putting on music and walking. And that's what I enjoy. And it feels good. And for some people, they might hate walking. I enjoy yoga. I used to hate yoga. And that's because yoga forces you to be present in your body, which makes sense why I hated it years ago because I hated my body. Interesting how that works. So it's so important to recognize that what is going to be joyful for you is going to be different than me. It's also going to be different for you as you go through different seasons of life. But I can promise you that you have to, I'm going to say it again, if you don't take anything else from this episode, well, first take that you need to go get your skin checked. But second, you have to have unconditional permission to rest in order to want, to genuinely want to move your body. And that is the same thing with food. I use this parallel all the time. You have to have unconditional permission to eat if you want to make peace with food. So you have to have unconditional permission to rest in order to make peace with movement. And now please know that the diet culture side of social media could take that clip that I just said and they're gonna be like, you're saying you should eat everything and you're saying you should never move again. Nope, didn't say that. Didn't say that. You just have unconditional permission to do those things. And once you do that, you get your body into a safe, trusting place where you can listen to it of like, oh, what do you want to eat? Or how do you want to move your body? And you can build curiosity around that and really start to work on those relationships and see them go from unpleasant to pleasant. Lots of work to be done in between those two things, but that is where we start to see the magic happen. But I understand your resistance to those things when you hear me say unconditional permission to eat or rest, because those fears that come up right away are I'm never going to move again and I'm going to eat everything in sight. And I'm here to tell you, will you be sedentary in the beginning? Yeah, because you got to trust that you have unconditional permission to rest. Will you eat everything in sight when you have unconditional permission to eat? You could. You might eat way more of those foods that diet culture didn't allow you to eat for years, but you have to do that to make peace with those things. And I promise you, it doesn't mean that you're going to be eating all the things or not moving for the rest of your life, but those, it's such an important lesson to grasp as you make peace with your body and movement and food and whichever relationship we take this into. So, you know, something else I do want to mention is, you know, I kind of had this idea of talking about my relationship with movement because of the anecdote that happened yesterday with my neighbor, but also with my excisions coming up in December is like I have movement restrictions because I physically cannot move my back. I can't even pick up my toddler for a few weeks because I could break open these excisions. Because if you think about it, when you move your arms and like, you know, do kind of like a rowing motion or a fly motion, right? Like you can rip open and you're moving muscles that they've put stitches in. So I I have counseled countless people who have had injuries, maybe not excisions per se, but injuries where they've had movement restrictions. And it is so important to remind yourself that when you go through seasons of injury or needing to rest postpartum or excisions from a dermatologist or whatever it is, it's that constant reminder that rest is the most productive thing I can do for my body right now. And is it frustrating that you might have rest or like movement restrictions that have to be done at certain times in your life? Yes, but it's important to remind yourself that rest is just important as the movement itself. So thank you for being here with me. Thank you for listening to my personal stories of movement and dermatology excisions and all of the fun things. Send this to a friend so we can get some skin checks rolling with everyone and make sure everybody's skin is as healthy as can be. Skin is a vital organ. So it is very, very important. And please, 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 please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. When you rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts, can you please do me a favor, leave a review. Let me know what you like. Let me know if you liked this episode. Let me know what you want to hear more of, because the more that I get feedback from you, the more I can personalize this podcast for you as well. So thank you for being here. I just greatly appreciate your time. I know how precious time is, and I will be seeing you and talking to you next week on the pod. Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.